grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that we noticed that the Old Testament reading was gone today, because I'm preaching from the Old Testament reading, so it's probably pretty good we read it. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Beautiful sentiment, isn't it? And aren't they just simple words? Deep? No. Simple? Yes. Easy? Now there's the rub, isn't it? You know, God's so powerful. Why does he need our help? Why does he need my help? Why does he need your help? As I was preparing for this today, you know, thank God for the internet, because I used to do this without the internet, and geez, you had to spend hours and hours and hours in the library, at least the internet. Now I put in a click and here's all this material, you know. But I was reading an article by Chris Wiedner this week, and he's the president of Made for Success. And surprisingly, I got this off of the website of a Franciscan Father Brian, of all things. He lists 7 points that we're going to look at today. Now, Chris Wiedner is not a clergyman, but I think what he's doing is really, really important. Well, it all starts with honesty, which is our first point. I'm going to read you what he wrote. The world. Lie to get what you want. It's okay. No matter what damage the lie does, it is acceptable because the intent is what matters. Right? People who are successful have a lot of money. Doesn't matter how they got that way, does it? Okay? So you can lie and cheat, whatever, just as long as you accumulate the money. That's not really true. When you're successful, is it more than just money? Doesn't character have something to do with that too? I believe so. So when you're developing money, you're also developing your character. What do you stand for? Well, it's just a little lie, so it's okay. You know, honey, does this make my butt look big?
Yes, it does.
Answer. But you see what I'm getting at? You know, so many times, well, it's okay. But the thing is, once you start on the pathway of lying, you've got to remain on that pathway. And then the little lies become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it's no longer about developing a good character, but staying out of trouble when somebody calls you on the lies. So the thing is, instead of lying, you know, sometimes it's better to remain silent and appear wise and open one's mouth and remove all doubts. All right, let's look at Dr. Widener's second point. Give others your respect. Most of the time, we give people respect based on what they have done or what they've accomplished. We gauge whether they are not worthy of our respect based on what we know of what they have achieved or who they are related to. Anymore, if they're an actor or actress, well, then they're good. Of course, I don't think we want to do that with politicians, do we? But I believe we should have a higher standard. We respect people not for what they have done or for who they are related to or for what they can do for us. Instead, we respect people for simply being. Now, as I was reading this, I thought, where did I get this concept? People, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Boy, there's a great point, isn't it? It's the same thing. 3, give others your vulnerability. We're taught to be strong. Yes, we should be strong. But Dr. Wiedner says, we have also embraced something that I think keeps us from having the kind of life that we long for. It's an idea that keeps us from experiencing the kind of relationships that would bring deep meaning to us. And it's the idea of vulnerability. Sorry. But Chris, make yourself vulnerable and the people will step all over you. Well, it's true that this will happen. But I've also seen that many people will be drawn to you because you're open. They will help you. They will open up to you. You see, we are all broken people inside. We all have our secrets. Yet everyone plays the poser. Oh, doesn't bother me. You know, and you got this guy in a, you know, 2x4 hitting you on the back of the head. Yes, it does. When one lets down their veil, others soon follow, and we all win. So I was thinking about this. Fall. Well, the fall of Adam. Since then, we live in a broken world. I mean, the guy's talking theology without really coming out and saying it, isn't he? If the world is broken, then so are we. We all have our hidden sins and our hidden secrets. But what is important is to be as open as we can be. You think Jesus would like us that way? Well, I do. But there's a good goal to have, isn't it? Be vulnerable. You know, don't put on, if you're hurt, you know, be hurt. If you're happy, be happy. Okay. Number 4, give others your care. Too many people are running around this old earth not caring about others. The days of look out for number one and winning through intimidation are over. Let's bring about a new day when we can care about others and we can succeed in this care. Take the time to show people you care. Listen to them. Empathize with them. Love them. Now, I don't mean you have to go around hugging everyone. Okay? Was it something I did? Okay. That probably wouldn't fly in corporate America today anyway. But we can take some time to step back from business and be human. And I have found that when we do so, our business succeeds as well. All right, I was thinking about this. We've all worked, right? How many bosses that thought that winning through intimidation was a good thing to do? Any of you ever told a boss no?
Yep.
Did you keep your job?
Yep.
Sometimes.
Yes, I did.
But folks, aren't we supposed to treat all people as if they're important? Accept them as where they are, not what we want them to be. I don't know how many times I've had ladies come in and talk to me, but I just thought if I was with him, I could change him. It don't work that way. But once you start accepting people where they are, this starts and we all win, I think. And we're just begging to share our core Christian values. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? I like these points, don't you? I think they're good. Now, number 5, give others your passion. There's nothing more that this world needs than passion. And people need passionate people around them. Living in this day and age can be tiring. Folks, if you watch the news all the time, okay, the world's going to hell in a handbasket because that's what they want you to believe. How many times have you seen something good on the news? Well, it doesn't sell. All right, so we're not going to put that out there. The hustle and bustle of it all can wear you down, tire you out. So give your passion to others and let your passion fire them up. Don't just be humdrum. Be excited. Give people all the energy you can muster up. And you will find that energy reciprocal. If you give energy to somebody, they'll turn around and give it back to you. They will get energized and they will get passionate. And this in turn will fire you up more than when you're already charged and get you going altogether when you don't feel like moving at all. By the way, that's Chris's words, not mine. These are mine. You know, people will not get excited unless you're excited. You know, I've quoted this from Emerson. Nothing was great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Well, we gotta do this. I'm gonna be Eeyore. Yeah. Now think about that for a second. How many people have you been around like that? How many leaders have you been around like that? You can't lead and do that. I add one thing to Emerson's quote, and folks, Emerson's quote's from the late 1800s. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm, and I add perseverance. You gotta get excited about it, and you gotta work at it. You know, a journey begins with a single step, doesn't it? If you want to succeed in something and you're overwhelmed, you look at it, all right, what's the one thing I can do now? Then do it. Then what's the next thing? Then do it. Then what's the next thing? Then do it. And you'll start seeing things open up. And, okay, I got to do this and this to get this to work. And the thing is, how many times when we're trying to do things, especially in helping others, do we feel, well, what can I do? Well, like there's one thing you can do, right? Jesus Loves You Ministries. What's the one thing we do? We participate in Jesus Loves You Ministries, which has led us to other things. But you see what I'm getting on? Okay. Number six, give others your experience. We all have areas that we excel in, and they are usually areas that we have experience in. One of the things we can do to make our lives more meaningful and be of utmost help to others is to show them the way that through the experiences we have. But you got to watch that, because if you just say, well, I don't want to tell you, but I'll tell you. I had a boss that said that. Well, if I don't ask, why tell me? Okay. But sometimes it will be what they should do, shortcuts to take, people to meet, etc. And sometimes it will be what they should not do, shortcuts not to take and people to stay away from. Whatever it is, we can be of service to others by giving them our experience, and ultimately it will make us all better. It's the end of Chris's words. You know, as a band director, I always talk to my kids, you know, we're going to do this together. And I say kid, but, you know, I ran two jazz bands of adults too. You know, many hands make for easy work. You know, I don't know how many times our church has gotten together, you know, volunteers. That one time we really hit the sandwiches and we made 460. And they wanted, what, 100? Well, they didn't let them go to waste, but they said we're probably doing just a little bit too much about that. But I seem to remember a book telling us that whatever we do for others, we get back tenfold. Remember reading that? Well, that's not true. That book must be incorrect, right? Not yet. Wisdom in the Bible tells us in order to receive, we must first give, right? Isn't Christmas about the joy of giving, not receiving? Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross, was to give us? I mean, what did he get out of it? Not much, did he? But he sure paid the price for us. And our last, give others your help. All in all, what we want to do is to help others. Zig Ziglar says that if we help others get what they want, we will in turn get what we want. Think about that for a second. If we help others get what they want, we will in turn get what we want. If we want to be successful, we should consider ourselves servants of other people. We should consider ourselves servants of other people. What does it mean to be a servant? To serve. Okay? Not to run, not to lead, but to serve. What do you need me to do? Okay? What can we do to help them and make them better? And I think this is the true path to greatness and success. not only in business, but in life. Isn't this great? I mean, the first time I run across this Chris Wiedner, but he sounds a lot like me, you know, in the things I believe. Zig Ziglar also said one other thing, that if you give people what they want and need, they will move heaven and earth to get it. You know, I was thinking when I was preparing this, you know, if I had children that were starving, I would do whatever I had to do to get food for them. And if that meant stealing from somebody who had more, yeah, because you take care of your children. But isn't that what helping people does? We serve others, not that they are here to serve us. You know, as I was preparing this, I was thinking about what Jesus did for us. Did he serve us? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Are we here to serve him? Well, now think about that for a second. We don't have to. We want to. And there's a difference between being a Christian. It's not somebody lording it over you and saying, you have to do this. I remember when I had catechism, I said, are you saved by what you do? And all three of you said, yes. Are we saved by what we do?
No.
But we want to do it to give back because of what God and Jesus did for us. And I think as I was reading this, and I was thinking about that song, because that Here I Am, Lord, is what we're singing here for our sermon hymn. Listen to this again. So here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. And the people of God responds with, amen. To God be the glory.